All right, welcome again. We are looking at communication and connection 7, the world. We looked at some of the evangelism methods that are quite common, especially in personal evangelism. And in this session, we're going to look at 2 CLI methods. So these might not be methods that you have encountered before. We're going to look at the 7 connection method, which is really a walk with God style of evangelism. And then we're going to look at the spiritual dream method. All right, the 7 connections method. You know about the 7 connections. We've gone over it many times, different classes, our personal walk, marriage, family, friends, support group, church, kingdom, world. 1 Peter 3:15, 16, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So we are encouraged in the Bible to have the reason for our hope always ready to go. So the expectation here is that we're going to have these opportunities, that people are going to ask us, that these things are going to come up. Now, a lot of times they don't come up, but what I want to talk about is how you can prime the pump. You have relationships with people. How do you get from business a fun activity that you're involved in, someone you know in the neighborhood, you have all these connections to people, you converse with them about various things. How do you get it down to the spiritual thing? How do you create an environment where people can ask you about your faith and you can share the gospel? So that's what we're talking about. So connection one is our connection to God. And what you need to do is look for opportunities to share. How do I share my connection to God? Number one, when someone complains about their personal life. So you have a friend, coworker, neighbor, you end up talking, and they end up sharing things like, you know, I have no passion, you know. I'm at work, and I can't get into anything. I've been depressed lately. I just want to stay in bed. So someone is sharing, and they're sharing their personal hurts, whatever it might be. Okay? When someone asks about your personal life, you know, they see that, you know, you're handling things well, and they're wondering how it is. Or maybe you've gone through some kind of crisis, but you've done it with a lot of grace and, you know, a certain amount of confidence, and they're impressed with that, and then they make a comment like, you know, I've noticed that you seem to be able to handle these difficult situations. All right, well, what do you share? When someone says that, when someone complains about their personal life, when someone asks you about yours, well, what do you share? You share what you do that helps you. So if someone's complaining about their personal life, you know, I'm not energetic. You know, at night I can't sleep. I wake up in the middle of the night. I have these fears. I can't hold on. I don't even know what I'm afraid of. You know, they're explaining issues that they have. What do you share? How do you get to that deeper level where you might be able to share the gospel? What I try to do is to explain to them what's helped me overcome those same things. Yeah, I remember waking up in the middle of the night fearful too. Sometimes I, you know, lost some passion and energy. But let me tell you what I do that helps maintain my passion, that helps relieve my fears. Let me tell you what I do. What I do is I read a little bit of the Bible every day. Every day I begin my day by giving God all the things on my to-do list. Lord, here's my to-do list. It's my prayer list. I'm going to give you these things. I go to church. I mean, here's what I do. Now, you could share what you believe, but people like to argue about what they believe. But if I just share what I do, look, these are the things that I do, and I don't know. I can't even explain it totally, but it really helps me with the same problem that you have. So you might try to do some of these things. I mean, if you're really frustrated, I mean, if you're okay, then keep doing what you're doing. But if you'd like to try something different, it's worked for me. See, what's nice about that kind of testimony, it's like people with vitamins. Maybe you know some person that's really into vitamins. Vitamin E. If you take vitamin E, your whole life will change. I'll tell you, when I took vitamin E, I was depressed, I was down, I had no energy. And then all of a sudden, I took vitamin E, and after a week, I had all this energy. I could talk to people. I had more enthusiasm for everything. Now, you could say, well, you're crazy. You could say, well, how does it work? How does that vitamin E, how does that do that? And the guy goes, I don't know. I can't explain it. All I can tell you is I was this before, and now I'm this after. I was blind, but now I can see. See, it's hard to argue with that. You may not believe them. You may think they're crazy, but it's hard to argue against that. Look, you're down, you're discouraged. I was too. This is what I did. Now I'm this. It might work for you too. If not, just keep going in your depressed, discouraged state. See? Your walk with God. So share your walk with God habits. All right. Connection two, marriage. So it's the same thing. Look for opportunities to share when someone complains about their marriage or someone asks about yours. And people complain about their marriages all the time. You know, you're with a buddy, and he starts saying, I married my wife 10 years ago, and we were so in love, and we had so much in common, but over the 10 years, we had a few kids. She has her friends, I have my friends, she does her thing, I do my thing. We've just drifted apart. And, you know, the littlest things, you know, we end up arguing and fighting about the littlest things, and yeah. And so they start sharing their life. And, you know, that scenario is common. Here in the United States, 40-45% of all marriages end in divorce. People that started out with great hopes and expectations end up in brokenness. Okay, so people are in the middle of that all over the place. And it's fairly easy for people to end up, you know, they're hurting, and so they want to talk about it. So they end up talking about that. It's an opportunity. Whenever someone talks about a problem in their life, it's an opportunity to share your walk with God. What to share? What you do that helps you. Your marriage walk with God habits. So if someone's complaining about their marriage, I say, you know, I know exactly what you're saying. You know, my wife, you know, we too. You know, you get married, you have all this expectation, but then along the way, you know, things happen. I understand that completely. You might tell a few stories of your own frustration. But can I share with you just a couple little things that my wife and I do that make all the difference? Can I share that? I go, okay. My wife and I, every day, we don't take a long time, but every day we share this thing that we're reading. It's just one verse a day. And we share that verse. And we, you know, maybe we say something about it, maybe we don't, but we just share that. But then life happens in the day, and often God uses that verse throughout our day, and we end up coming back together and, hey, you know, we read that this morning, and this is what happened today. And we have a little prayer together. And we go to church together. And those little habits in our lives, reading the Bible, praying, going to church, being a part of things, those things keep us together. Because this is how it works. I think it's because God is sitting there. You know, if God were actually sitting at a table with you and your spouse, you know, here I am, here's my spouse, and God is sitting at the table too. And we're having this thing, and I'm angry about something you did, or you said, or you didn't do, or she's angry, generally, you know, it'd go the other way around. She's angry at me for saying something, or not saying something, or not doing something. And so you have these frustrations. But God, the God of this universe, the God who sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, is sitting right there at the table with us. How judgmental am I going to be towards my spouse? How condemning will I be? You know, it's your fault. You always, you know, God is sitting there. He knows me. He knows what kind of person I am. You see, I'm going to be a little more honest and a little more forgiving. And we don't let things build. Often marriages destroy themselves because little things, they become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're just not dealt with. Well, if you had to pray together every single day, if you prayed just once a week, you could only let things build up for 1 week. Because you come before God, you got to settle it. So that's what I'm sharing. I'm sharing that if you just had a couple little habits in your life, in your marriage, it might make all the difference. Now, if you want to keep walking in the frustrated thing that you're doing right now, then feel free to do that. But if you'd like to try something that has worked for my wife and I, we can help you do that. Connection three, family. So, opportunities to share. So we're going down the same pattern. When someone complains about their family, when someone asks you about yours, what to share, what you do that helps you, your family walk with God habits. So people complain about their families all the time, especially when they get to the teenage years. Yeah, we can't do anything with our son. He doesn't seem to be motivated. He doesn't do his homework. He doesn't seem to care. He sits in the basement and he plays video games. I just read something in a book, at least here in the United States, that there's a lot of teenage boys, 15 to 25, and they're all sitting in the basement. They don't have jobs, and they're sitting contented with their life in their parents' basement because they had a choice. The choice was to be a barista in Starbucks, so, you know, serving people coffee for a job, just getting a job, or they could be a starship captain in the universe sitting on a couch in their parents' home, you know, in a virtual world where they are important, where they're somebody, where they're making big things in this universe happening. And most young men are choosing to be starship captains in their parents' basement. So parents are frustrated with kids. You know, we'd spoil them, at least here in our country, and we wonder what's going on. What can we do about this? We're just frustrated as all get out. People are frustrated with the discipline and their kids getting into drugs, going off and, you know, getting into trouble, all of this. And parents don't know what to do. So, you know, it's easy to get people to talk about this. So when they do, here's an opportunity for you to share. You know, I have four boys. At one time, they were all teenagers. So there are four teenagers all at one time. And, you know, they're going to the school and, you know, all the things that are happening around them in the world. You know, what am I going to do? I got the same issues, same problems, same pulls, and kids into the video games and all of that. Into the music and all kinds of things going on. So what do? Well, one of the things that I did when my kids were teenagers is I taught them the hymns. Where, you know, my wife and I are very musical and so on. So, and my kids didn't know any of the hymns. They knew the contemporary songs, but they didn't know the hymns. So we taught them the hymns. We got out the old songbook, and we, you know, were they thrilled? Oh, great. Mom and Dad are going to teach us the hymns. I can't wait. No. Our oldest son would be like, I'm not doing that. So we, you know, it was hard. Well, we kept at it. And they learned the hymns. We taught them the parts. And I remember especially my oldest son, who wasn't going to do it. This is now 6 months later. He was sitting there doing, organizing something. And while he was organizing it, he was softly singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." You know, he was singing one of those hymns. So, we surrounded our kids with, you know, singing hymns. We read through the Bible. 1 year we read through the Bible in a year, which means 3 chapters every single day. So at 9 o'clock every night, we got out the Bibles, we sat in a circle. If they had friends over, didn't matter if they went to church, whether they believed in the Bible or not, this is what we do. We surrounded our kids with these habits. Church, Bible, prayer. Did they want to do it? You know, we're reading through the whole Bible. You have to get through 1st and 2nd Chronicles, which are just a bunch of names. I'm thinking, wow, my kids are going to be in counseling one day. Our dad forced us to read the Bible. It was the best thing we ever did. So, that's what I would share. I would share, you know, we have the same challenge, but here's what we did about it. Here are the habits and practices that we got going in our family. If you want to try something different, we can help you. Now, if you're happy doing what you're doing, then keep going. Connection 4, support or friends or small group. Opportunities to share. When someone complains about their lack of support and friends, and I just don't know many people. My husband doesn't have a friend. He doesn't have a bunch of buddies to go fishing with. He doesn't, you know, he lives, you know, he's dependent on me. So people have this, at least in our culture. Maybe you're in a culture where you're surrounded by people all the time and there are connections all the time. I know in the Philippines that's the way it was. There's a lot of cultures where you have this. But in our culture, it's missing. And so it's easy to get that conversation going. When someone asks about your friends and how you do it, and what do you share? You share the thing that helps you. You your support walk with God. So I have godly people that I'm connected to. Maybe I'm in a small group where I'm with families that are struggling, and they all have teenagers, and we meet together and we share what's going on. Because sometimes you want to quit. It's not easy. You know, I got my oldest son doesn't want to do any of this. What do I do? Am I doing the right thing or am I not doing the right thing? I don't know. So I want to talk with people who are struggling with the same thing, or maybe they're a little farther ahead. What did you do? How did you do it? So the whole mentor thing, you know, and that's what church is. It's people that have been down the trail mentoring people who are just starting on the trail, or whatever it might be, in the whole family situation, support, whatever's needed. You know, whether it's, people addicted to alcohol or people, struggling with divorce or whatever the issue might be. There's a group at church of people that experience the same thing but have come out the other side. And if you'd like to be connected to some of these people, we can help you. All right, connection 5, church. Opportunities to share when someone complains about their lack of belonging. Those of us who go to church, I think we take it for granted. We're a part of, you know, we got friends, but we're part of this large group. It's a support network. We got a problem, there's someone that can support us and help us. We're never alone with these things. The average person who doesn't belong to a church community, they're alone. They got a problem. A lot of times their family and their extended family situation is all broken. They can't count on uncles and aunts and cousins and brothers and sisters. There's all this brokenness. And so, you know, people feel that disconnect. And so when they're complaining about that, or when they're really hurting, when they have a situation, when, you know, they're financially in trouble, or, you know, their whole world is falling apart, there's a whole community that you can be a part of. that can help you. And if you'd like to be introduced to that community, why don't you come to church with us? But just try it out. Or we have a group of guys that go fishing, or a group of guys that are into this, or whatever it might be. And you slowly invite them into a big group of people, a support system that most people in the end really need. All right. Connection six, the kingdom. Opportunities to share when someone complains about their lack of being a part of something significant. So remember, you know, walk with God, marriage, family, the friends, support group, church, kingdom. Now, kingdom is this, you know, we are part of a movement that is worldwide. I mean, working here at Christian Leaders Institute is cool because of that. We have 180 different countries, students from all over. You can go to the directory and just look them up. You can read profiles of people. At our church, a missionary from Nepal came and talked to our church. And so I just looked at the directory. We have 12 students in Nepal. It's so cool to do that. And in some ways, we take for granted that we're part of this incredible worldwide movement called Christianity. It's the greatest movement the world has ever known. It compares to it. And we are a part of it, and it gives us purpose and meaning. Life has purpose. It isn't just working and paying for things and living and then getting old, slowly falling apart and dying and put in the ground. And then that goes on for a while, thousands of years. Finally, the sun burns out, the earth freezes over, and that's the end. So the goal of humanity is to somehow get off of this planet and, you know, find another one, where the sun is younger and humanity can live on. But what about my life? My life ends 70, 80, 90 years, boom, done, gone. Now, see, we're a part of this purpose. My life every day means something because I'm connected to this greater thing. And the people that I meet, I can go anywhere in the world, and I can instantly connect with people who will accept me, who will take me into their home, who will feed me, who will guide me, it's amazing. Being a part of this Christian network is the most amazing, purpose-filled thing that anyone can do. Now, if people don't have that, they're searching for purpose. And they're pouring their life into some activity or some sport or into work or in, you know, getting possessions or whatever it might be. They're trying to find something to give their life to. But they know in the end, it's like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. It's going down. So we have this purpose. So when people, you know, at some point in a person's life, they go, you know, I've been working so hard for money, and all it's brought me is brokenness and pain and discouragement. Or whatever they've been working towards, whatever they've been giving their life to, and it always crashes. And when it does, see, I'm not part of something that gives me real purpose and meaning. That goes beyond the crashes, beyond death itself. There's my opportunity to share. And so I can share the thing that helps me. I'm connected to that. And you can too. So I share my kingdom walk with God habits. Finally, connection 7, the world. Opportunities to share when someone complains that they have nothing worth sharing. A lot of people, what do they have to sell? They're not excited about anything. Or maybe it's fishing or some hobby or some sport. But that's it. They don't have anything significant to share. And so, again, you have something of significance to share. And so, you know, when someone's complaining about that, you can say, well, can I share what I share? This is the thing that I enjoy sharing, and it feels like, you know, it gives me purpose and meaning. Can I share this with you? And then you share your faith. This is the thing I think is worth sharing. Now, you can keep doing what you're doing. So what I like about this form of evangelism is I'm just sharing what I do and what works for me. I don't know if it's going to work for you. I don't know if you want to do it. But you're the one that's complaining about some problem or some issue, and it's not being resolved with whatever you're doing now, so I'm just offering you an alternative. And if it's a big enough problem, you might want to consider trying it, and I am here to help you if that's what you want to do. I'm not forcing anything. I'm just here to help you with your problem. All right. So the next way to share your faith, was born out of Christian Leaders Institute. What's your spiritual dream? So this goes back to the Kennedy method. He had two questions. This is another modern way of doing something with a question. What is your spiritual dream? So Henry and I have asked people all over the world for the last 15 years. No matter where we would go, we had asked, you know, we're in a taxi, we asked the taxi driver this question. Hey, so what's your spiritual dream? It's amazing. In fact, you don't have to warm up the conversation. You just blurt it out. You can walk someone up, in the shopping place and just say, hey, excuse me, can I ask you a question? And they look at you like, what? Yeah, what's your spiritual dream? And it's such a captivating. A lot of times people say, well, what do you mean by spiritual? And then I always just say, well, whatever you want it to mean. And everywhere we ask this question, people give the same two answers. They have a God answer, and they have a people answer. They have a God answer, and a people answer. Sorry, I'm going to go back. A God answer, a people answer. Now, they don't say God or people, but what they'll say is, well, my dream is to know the truth. Or my dream is to connect to the universal force that connects all life. I remember one guy said, my dream is to be one with the whales. We were in Vancouver on the West Coast, and a lot of, you know, so what was he really saying? In the West Coast, there's a lot of New Age people who think that I am God, you're God, the tree is God, the water's God, and the whales are God. So he was just saying, I want to be connected to my version of God. You know, a lot of different versions, but they have a hand reaching up to whatever it is. So that's one thing people will say. The second thing people will say is, you know, I want my marriage to be good. I want my kids to turn out right. I want to live my life in such a way that I make a difference in the life of somebody. That what I do makes a difference in the lives of the people that are around me or in the world itself. So people have the hand reaching up, but they have a hand reaching out. And everyone does. Everyone shares the same common dream. So, are you totally satisfied that you are achieving this dream? Most people say, well, I wouldn't say totally satisfied. People are often frustrated with this dream of connecting to God, whatever their version of God is, and making a difference in the lives of the people around them. If someone were to say, yes, I am totally satisfied, then I'll just say, well, God bless you, because you don't have any needs. If you don't have any needs, you're not going to be open to anything that I have to say. If they say no, why not? What is keeping you from your dream? There's a common dream. Everyone we ask a spiritual dream, the question is the same answer. God, people. And also, on the side, it's interesting enough in the Ten Commandments, God only commands what we already want. It's interesting that people will sometimes criticize Christianity because it's a bunch of rules, you know, i.e. the Ten Commandments. But if you look at the Ten Commandments, all they do is reiterate what our dream is. Matthew 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. What is that? The dream of connecting to God. My dream is to connect with God, and God commands us to connect with God. He commands us to do the dream we already have. love your neighbor as yourself. Our dream was to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. God is only commanding what we already want. The first four commandments of the Ten Commandments are about our relationship to God. The next six are about our relationship to the people around us. Hello. Common problem. Everyone we ask the spiritual dream question has some frustration in fulfilling their dream. The people dream problem. Genesis 3 verse 7. Then the eyes of both, remember when sin comes into the world, Adam and Eve listen to the lie of the devil. They eat what they were told not to. And this is what happens. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. They realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. What did they do? They hid from each other. Okay, our dream is to connect with the people around us, to have a great marriage, have a great family, make a difference in the lives of other people. But what does sin do? It makes us distrust. I distrust you. I have to be clothed. You have to be clothed. I don't trust what you see in me. We have this insecure thing that's leading to all this brokenness now. We want closeness, but sin makes us hide from one another. The God dream problem. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We want to connect with God, but when God comes around, we hide. Sin separates us from God. We have this dream. God commands it. You know, love me, love your neighbor. It's what we want. But because of sin, there's this brokenness. See, what I like about this way of presenting the gospel is I know what a person's dream is already before I even talk to them. I know they want what I want, God, people. And I know they're hiding in the bushes, so it's going to be difficult. Some people are so far into the trees, into the woods, and hiding in the brokenness, that it's going to take something to get them out. The solution to the God and the people dream. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We have the dream of connecting to God and to people. So we got this vertical dream. We've got this horizontal dream. Sin is the thing that is keeping us from that dream. So what did God do about it? He sent his son, the vertical, the horizontal. And you put them together and you get a cross. The horizontal and the vertical. See, it's walking through the power that Jesus gives us that will help us connect to the dream that we have. So that's how I would share my faith. I start with where they are at. Look, this is your dream, not my dream. And this is your frustration with the dream. And now I'm offering you a solution to your frustration. Would you like to try it? And often what I do is, because sometimes people aren't ready to accept Jesus as their Savior, I just say, well, why don't you taste and see if he's good? Why don't you walk with God? See, that's what the track was all about. Why don't you walk with God for 6 days and see if he shows up? See if this doesn't relieve some of the frustration that you have with the dream that you have in your heart. Okay, so anyway, those are two methods. We have one more session on this whole topic of Connection 7.